Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Yeah, every night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for Monday, September the 19th. You bunch of lowlifers, hope you're doing well out there. Thank you for joining me. And if you were just joining for the first time and wonder why I insulted you by calling you a lowlifer, well, that's what you are now. You're part of the lowlifer community. You're living the low life. That's what the listeners of this program refer to themselves as. And that song is Biloxi Blues. That's a song I wrote many years ago and recorded many years ago. And get that out of the way, because a lot of people ask about that still, and I'm grateful for that. Very grateful for that. It's good to be back, man. There are so many things going on in the fishing world. I've been tagged in a lot of posts this week. Man, I can't wait to hear Luke's take on this, and I really do appreciate that. It's funny to kind of be in that position where people, you know, even if they don't like you, which is a lot of folks out there, you know, got some weird little stalkers to hang around the show sometimes, right? Like to peek through the blinds and then run their mouth. But they're going to watch. They're going to be there every week. But it's funny. I had a buddy text me. He's like, dude, when stuff goes down in the fishing world, people are just tagging you like crazy in these comments. And that's fun, man. So it's been one of those weeks. So many, there are a lot of positive things going on. There's a lot of crazy things going on and some negative. But we're going to get all into it today for sure. Got a good guest. We're going to have two guests. We're going to have two guests on today, but we're going to save one for next week because he was busy today when I'm recording this. So been busy myself this week. A lot of TH stuff going on and work, and getting ready for a big the IBEX boat building show for TH Marine. We go to every year down in Tampa. So I've been building booths this week and putting my carpentry skills to work, and that's something that I'm not good at. You know, you wouldn't want me to build you a birdhouse, let alone like a trade show booth. But I've done it a couple times a year for the last 17 years. They're like, hey, bring your non-construction, you know, skilled self down here to Huntsville, Alabama, and let's build some stuff. So that does happen, and I've been doing that this week, hanging with some of my brothers from TH Marine. And then Hudson and I have been rigging out the X21 the last few days. And much to the, he's busted up like I am. Aluminum will get you now. You get down in there digging around. I don't know what's worse, aluminum or fiberglass getting into your skin. Probably fiberglass, I would say, from years of working on fiberglass boats as well. So aluminum gets you, though. You get to digging around down in there looking for some wiring harnesses and things like that. But we getting rigged up and ready to go. I also got to go dove hunting this week. I ran my mouth about that the last couple weeks. And I got to go. Sam George Fishing invited me to come to his amazing farm. And there at his folks' house, they got a Christmas tree farm. It's pretty cool, and big business for Sammy and those in the George family over the years, and in charge of that. But they do a dove hunt there every year. So I got invited. My buddy Big C, y'all know Big C if you listen to the show for any number of years. Big C, Kyle Austin, who just finished in the top five there at the Bassmaster Open up on the Chesapeake. Kyle had stopped at Trey's on his way to the Red River. and Trace at Sammy's, and then little buddy Trey Swindle, our buddy Elliot, but we got Trey Swindle out of the house, man. We got him out. And I gotta say, we gave him hell all day long, all afternoon long. And what Trey has shown me through this with the resiliency of with handling the DQ like he has, and just not letting it get to him, man. And now he's down at the Red River practicing for this week's Open, and he's just trudging through. And it's really it's been made me emotional, honestly. Like I've been so happy. I talked last week. There was some negative. You know, you always get these mouth breathers that are going to say dumb stuff because they don't know any better, right? Or they're insecure in their own skin, and they're jealous of like a kid. But what Trey did, made an honest mistake. And obviously he didn't have the proper amount of coverage or couldn't prove that he had the proper amount of coverage. And Hank made a tough call there, Hank Weldon. And I've talked to Hank this week. Shout out to Hank. He listened to the show. He reached out to me. He and I had a conversation back and forth, and nothing but respect for Hank. And it's a tricky situation. It's a very tough situation. And everybody's learned and everybody's moving on. But to see the positivity that has kind of just been overwhelming towards Trey through this entire process has been, it's just made me happy, man. You know, there's been a few little negative chirps, but for the most part, and I feel bad, honestly, for JT Tompkins that won the event, because Trey has really, man, any post you see about, it's all about Trey. And I love that, because Trey's fishing skills led him to be in that position on the last day. And he was kicking ass, man. And he had a chance to win. And then that happened, unfortunately. And I think that, you know, I think there are more people today that know who Trey Swindle Fishing is in the Trey Swindle in the fishing industry now than ever before. And he's a kid. He's out there doing it on his own, man. He's got some great sponsor help. But the kid, there's a misconception. You get, again, the mouth breathers that think that, first of all, a lot of people think he's Gerald's son. And he's Gerald's nephew. Trey's father passed away, Gerald's brother, when Trey was very young, and Gerald is certainly Trey's uncle, and Gerald's one of the biggest names in the sport. But in one of Gerald's promises to Trey's dad, Tony, he wasn't going to give him everything, and he doesn't. He doesn't. He makes Trey work for what he's got, and, you know, sure, does he help him with tackle every now and then, things like that? Absolutely. But, you know, you see people, that jealousy seeping out where they're like, well, he'll be all right. Uncle G will take care of it. It's not like that. It's just not like that. Does Gerald love him very much? Absolutely. Does Gerald help him out? Absolutely. But not to the extent that most people would like to, that most people like to insinuate. So it's been really cool to see him kind of, you know, do his own thing. And he's really, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. So if you're not following Trey Swindle, make sure you are, man. He deserves it. He's going to be around this deal for a long time. It's just like Hank Weldon said. It's a terrible situation. But the kid's 22 years old. This is not going to be his last chance at hoisting a trophy, going to the Classic. You know, he's going to fish all 9 Opens again next year. Hopefully he can slide into the elites and do this thing, man. It's all he's ever wanted. So, but I got to spend some time with him this week, and I'm just reminded every time I'm around Trey, he's a joy to be around, man. He is. And even in defeat, he's a good dude. So, shout out to everybody that's been kind to him in this situation, because listen, if you a 50-year-old run your mouth about this, I guess you forgot about what it was like to be 21, 22 years old, and you probably never took any chances or were ever in a position like that in life, I'm sure, if you could say something negative. But it's not a joke, right? Like it's, you know, I mean, he's had a hard time with this. And a lot of people would have snapped rods over their knees and took off, you know, doing donuts, shooting Hank Weldon birds. I mean, hell, that kind of stuff has happened when people have been disqualified from tournaments. But Trey's just, he's back in, man, and fishing the rest of the Opens for the rest of the year. And best of luck to him down at the Red River and all the other Classic and Elite hopefuls this week down there. All right, I've got to say a quick thank you to the sponsors that make this all possible here at Low Budget Live. First and foremost, the OG sponsor, Startron, kicking ethanol in the teeth. You do not want ethanol getting in or around your outboard engine. All fuel, unless it's 100% ethanol free, but all fuel, they got that 10% contains 10% ethanol. That's enough to screw you over. A little dab will do you. Put some Startron in your tank, enzyme fuel treatment, and get it out of there. Nothing will ruin a great day on the water like an outboard engine that will not run. Put some Startron in your tank and take care of it. We appreciate the folks from Startron making this all possible. ProGuide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com. Man, I've had the Express out a couple times, and like I said, we've got it torn apart right now rigging, but I love those new lithium trolling motor batteries. They are they're super impressive. Of course, lightweight and stay charged. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, you can run them a couple days without plugging them up, and you're going to be all right. You are going to be all right, especially if you run a PowerPole charge system set up like I am. But you can use code LBL10, LBL10 at ProGuideBatteries.com. I saw many of you do this every single week. I saw a couple orders last week, big orders, man, and I'm grateful for you guys using that code and supporting the people that support not only me but the sport. You know, they're Bass Talk Live. They sponsor a lot of anglers out there. They sponsor MPFL. It's they're a great company, great people. ProGuideBatteries.com, BaitWorks.com, Bait-Works.com. Where we going to have the LOB jig? Hopefully, sooner than later. We're waiting on a few things, waiting on hooks and waiting on skirts, but we are ready. We're sitting on go, ready to start pouring jigs. But baitworks.com, if they ain't got it, you probably don't need it. And if they ain't got it, they probably got it on the way. They continue to add to their inventory daily since really kind of ramping up going online last fall, right? They're a year into this deal. They have the Superstore up in Springfield, Missouri, attached to Boatworks, their boat dealership. They, you know, the brick and mortar store that's loaded to the gills, but now they've expanded in the online world, and you can get it. If you don't want it, you better not hit order because it's going to show up at your front door. You can use code Duncan-10, Duncan-10 at bait-works.com to tell them you are a low lifer. Many things to come there with those guys. Last but not least, hang the banner. Right there, the classic winning high-performance aluminum bat. That's pretty cool to get to say every single week. I'm not going to lie. Y'all probably get tired of hearing it because it is. I just spit it out every week the same way, just constantly. But it is amazing to see the evolution in these boats and to see the evolution of the pro staff and the things they've been able to accomplish, and to be a part of that in some very small role is awesome, to be a part of that Express Boats family and to see Christy winning, you know, winning multiple elites, winning the classic, Billy Lowen winning elite series, seeing Summerall out there competing at this high level, man, it's awesome. The X21 LE is what I'm running right now, a little different layout. I will have a video out this week. Hopefully when I get this thing buttoned up, we will have our first walkthrough video of it. I'm just trying to get everything on it right now, but took it out. I absolutely love the thing. And can't wait to share it with all you folks. Got the C-Deck on it, bow to stern. Something I am running in that thing this year, Sonar Pro's harness. My man Trent Palmer sent me a harness. And Hudson and I have been meandering that thing through the boat. It's a tall order sometimes. But we're getting her rigged out with the 250 Yamaha Shell on the back of that thing. I took it way, way, way up a little tributary off the Tennessee River on Friday, and so much fun, man. So much fun. No graphs, just went and gotten some skinny water, throwing a frog around. It was a good time. Good time. So Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. Let's see. See, I don't even know what that noise is for, but I'm here for it. Moving on. Lots of things going on. First, I wanted to open with two or three, four real positive things going on, or bittersweet. The first one, Jay Yellis is retiring, and he is somebody that I can't imagine what bass fishing would have been like, professional bass fishing, to not have him in it. He's been in it for a very long time. Such a great human, but fantastic angler, fantastic teacher, and just he's just done it all, man. He's just done it all, and it makes me smile to think about my memories of watching Jay fish. I was in Birmingham on the front row when he won the Classic down there. And I remember the chills on my arms when they come bringing him into that arena. And he'd been fishing up below the Logan Martin Dam there on Lay, drifting in the current, which was something I grew up doing. I loved it. And it was cool to see that that's how he was breaking it down and catching them there. And they had that pontoon boat, their iconic footage, but the pontoon boat ran in between him and the bank in a real small area. It's crazy. But Jay was able to win that Classic, and he's done so many things, but I've had the pleasure of getting to know Jay over the years personally and fishing against him on the FLW tour when he came over there. And it's just always surreal to me to look over and see Jay Yellis. So the fact that he's had some health issues, and he's hanging it up. He's hanging it up. And we all owe Jay a debt of gratitude for teaching us so many things and fishing, just always being a class act. So thanks to Jay Yellis. And that's going to clear up a spot in the Elite Series for somebody. Who could that be? Somebody might be on the bubble. Somebody might be getting back in. We're going to talk more about that. But I'd say it's officially official, but I'm not going to ruin it for him. Y'all can put your heads together. But Yellis retiring, the spot goes back to someone on the Elite Series list that might have been on the outside just peeking in a little bit. So congrats to Jay on an amazing career, and I wish him the best of luck going forward. My man, holy crap, Hunter Bogman. Listen, I don't think I could have won the biggest tournament in the world and not be as excited as I am right now, or as I was whenever I saw the results from the Toyota Series at Lake Truman out there, Truman Lake in Missouri. I was talking with Mark McGuire about this. We were texting back and forth about it. One of the greatest, in my opinion, moments in bass fishing history. But Hunter, we've had Hunter on the show before, if you remember from last year. I met Hunter for the first time at the inaugural MPFL event down at Lake Eufaula. We covered him down there. He caught him really well. He caught him basically everywhere we went last year. Was down in Florida when his baby girl was on the way. We had to get him to the airport, planes, trains, and automobiles, and get him home. Then he flew back to finish out the tournament at the Harris Chain. Just crazy. The dude is obsessed with fishing. He fishes as many events as anybody I know, and he got the win at Truman. They got him on stage, and Hunter, if you've never looked him up, or if you don't remember that episode, but Hunter is wheelchair bound. Hunter was born perfectly healthy and had meningitis. Hunter lost both of his legs, and he has I think one arm, and he has a deformity on another arm, and it is. He is amazing. He's amazing. He is an outdoorsman. He shoots bows, guns, kills deer. The dude is amazing, but he is a fish catcher. Like, take all the fact, like his disabilities, everybody wants to get hung up on that, you know, and it is incredible. It is incredible, but take all that aside. Like, my dude is an animal. Like, he catches them all the time. And when he's not fishing a big event, he's fishing a smaller event at home, he just fishes. He uses the hashtag Hunter Fishes, and it could not be more appropriate. That's all the dude does. He is a machine, son, a machine. And he was a pound out going into the last day, and I woke up. I had just a funny feeling yesterday. I don't know. And I was so glad to see that. And Mark McGuire told me with their setup, they never had Hunter on stage with his wheelchair. And Mark's like, I wanted to make it work. And they got him on stage, and he wins, man. It doesn't get any better than that, guys. That should be the biggest story. That not only in bass fishing, it should be one of the biggest stories in the country. You want to cover something? Cover the fact that you should shut your mouth and never make an excuse again. Ever. And I was going to have Hunter on today, and we were texting last night, and he's like, you name the time and I'll be there, Bubba. And I'm like, all right, well, in the morning, I'm recording. And he says, I can't, I'm fishing tournament. So Hunter left Truman, drove down to Arkansas, to the Arkansas River, and is fishing some team tournament championship this morning. He can't help himself. So we're going to have Hunter on next week for sure. Just somebody that when I was on site at the MPFLs last year, it was always a joy to be around. I had the pleasure of spending a lot of time with him last year. Got to cover him several times with him catching the crap out of him. And just a solid human, man. Just a solid, solid human. And I'm so happy for him and his family. So y'all go follow Hunter. Go give him a big congratulations, because it's just awesome, man. I haven't stopped smiling, to be honest. Like, it's just been my wife and I last night, we were just all excited, and folks from the MPFL texting around. But dude, he fishes ABAs, he fishes MPFL, he fishes BFLs, Toyotas, team tournaments. I said it in a post online. He fishes as much as anybody I know, as many tournaments as anybody I know. It's incredible. It's truly incredible. So congrats to Hunter Bogman, man. Takes it by a pound out there, wins him some cash, and it's just awesome. Just so fun to see, man. You should never make excuses. I can only said it best, never give up. And we all get caught up in our own whatevers in life. I know I am 1,000,000% guilty on a daily basis. And Hunter has taken what life has given him and just said, all right. And like a running back, just grabbed it and just threw the line, man. He does life better than anybody I know. And it's a joy to see. So congrats. Congrats to my dude, Hunter Bogman, on that. Got to say a quick congrats to Jacob Wheeler for being just what he is. Incredible. Another just adds angler of the year to the shelf. And I think this is the first top 10 maybe he missed all year or something crazy. Or made six top tens. I don't know, something really dumb. He plays that game. Not only is a great angler, but he plays that Major League Fishing game better than anybody. I mean, obviously. But he has got it down. Unless you're talking about Dustin Connell, and maybe he doesn't play it as good as Dustin has this year. Three wins, two back-to-back. My God. DC on a roll, man. Can't say enough about the dude. He's a hammer. And I'll tell you, if you don't follow him on like YouTube, social media stuff, he gives out the goods. Dustin will lay the dirt on you, man. I'm telling you. So cool to see. Three-time winner in one season. I don't know. Like, I don't care what you're doing. That ain't, whew, especially with that format. Like, that's just not easy to me. Like, it's just not easy to do. So congrats to Dustin on a win. Somebody else I wanted to bring up from BPT, MLF, FLW, RIP, FLW. Dakota Hebert, somebody I got to get on the show. Dakota is and has been a wrecking ball since he came on the FLW tour. You know, the last year I fished, Dakota was around. I don't know Dakota well. We got a lot of mutual friends, but he's a fantastic angler. But I think he's coming off of like either his sixth or seventh straight top 10. Straight top 10, dude. It's incredible. Incredible. And that's pro circuit and BPT included in that. But he just qualified for BPT last year. He's mixing up with those dudes. And it's man, he's got it dialed. And he's so versatile, man. You see the things he does to catch them. Very cool to see Dakota doing well. And I got to give a shout out to my little buddy, Michael Neal, as well. He made the top 10 up there. It seems like he's always in a top 10. Wins Angler of the Year in the pro circuit 2 years in a row. Nobody is as dialed as he is right now, I feel like, across the board, you know. I mean, he's in a very, very elite group of people that that are smashing on him, man. So congrats to all them boys. Of course, you got the Bassmaster Open this week down at the Red, the old Dirty Red River. And I got a text from our guest. Hang on a second. Hang on. All right. So got three more opens that will kind of settle out who's who and who's gonna roll into the elites next year. Of course, the overall will be decided, the top three from that go, and then you still got the Southern and Centrals, where they will take three people from those as well. If there's a double qualifier, they call down the overall list. So a lot of people jockeying for position in those, and they got another really, 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 let me emphasis on really tough tournament at the Red River this week. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be brutal. I think there are seven bass that live in that entire thing now. And somebody going to go to the Classic, though. Those are the ones to be in, because it doesn't take a pile of weight. And you get on a little deal, a little solid deal, and you can certainly go to the Bassmaster Classic. So second event in the Central Division kicks off. And word on the street, going to be some rule changes for the Opens next year. Word on the street is we're going to see a schedule hopefully soon. And they say, whoever they are, huh? Best schedule they've ever had. I have made the statement on here that I'm not going to fish next year. I don't have time to fish all nine, obviously, but I've been told, though, that there's a couple divisions that I might not be able to ignore. So we'll see. I have been challenged that there are some divisions that I might not be able to pass up. So we'll see. We'll see. Bring it on. So look forward to hearing what kind of changes I may have. Hopefully, you know, maybe some payout changes. We'll see about the Bassmaster Opens. Of course, something that's going to, I would think, help the Opens a lot is, I talked about it last week, and it's these pro circuit changes. The Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit is no more. It's going to be called the Major League Fishing Invitationals. They are going to be called that. So the FLW Tour, it's changing again. You know, it morphed into the pro circuit, and now, of course, it is the MLF Invitationals. And I talked about this a lot last week, so I won't just rip on it too much. I saw the slide deck that was presented to the pro circuit anglers. Of course, it was presented to the BPT guys first for some reason, and then presented to the guys that pay money at the pro circuit, and a lot of which have been after it for a very long time. And it was met with mixed reviews. Overall, I think the payouts are not bad. They went down a couple $1,000s throughout the standings there, from best I can tell. They're going to pay 10 grand down to 30th instead of 50, but I think there's some $8,000 checks down through there. $5,000 entry fee, you know, something that cracked me up, though, is on the deck, they were comparing it to the Opens and to MPFL on their slide deck. And I just thought that was funny. I thought it was cool to see MPFL being compared, whether it's good, bad, or the ugly. You know how they're comparing it. But to see that, you got Boyd sitting there with his glasses on, and he's comparing it to MPFL, which is a trail that's, you know, not even in 2 years in. When you're comparing the FLW freaking tour to MPFL and the Opens, like, it's not – like, it's been a notch above the Opens, right? Like, it was the tour. It was as high as you could go at FLW until they bought it. So it's just kind of bizarre. And the payout is better than the Opens, but you're also paying $5,000. Now there's no championship. And something else that kind of makes me laugh, you have this win and you're in thing now. You know, they all left Bassmaster because of Bassmaster doing everything terribly, apparently, according to most of those guys. And now they're just ripping off the Opens completely, and you get to go to, but you don't get to go to the Classic, you go to Red Crest. So I don't know. It's kind of bizarre. We'll see what ends up happening overall with, you know, participation. I feel like guys are going to fish. There's just, you know, some people are loyal to a fault. And I think as long as there are good people there that have been with FLW and for a very long time, I think you'll still have guys sign up. It's going to be interesting to see. I saw some of the chat messages going on during the Zoom, and there were lots of people that were not happy. There were lots of people that were not happy. I will say that. I don't blame them. When you feed them a sandwich and you're basically like, yeah, you're the pieces of that are costing us money, and you bought the organization. It's bizarre. And you know, you can never rip that Band-Aid off. But they said they lost $2 million. Like I said, I can't look at their books. It makes sense to me that it would be. But also at the same time, I said right here, about 3 years on the nose ago, right here, that upset some people, hurt some feelings. When they started bending sponsors over a barrel, you know, that were with the FLW Tour, and I've been in some of those conversations, and I've heard how that went, but they lost significant sponsors. They tried to strong-arm Ranger Boats and Bass Pro Shops on the tour side of things. And I know what the Ranger sponsorship was with FLW, and it was significant. And they ran that deal off. Costa left. There were lots of things that went on, and I think that hurt. And that was just an arrogance thing coming in, ripping up contracts and being like, well, this is going to cost you more money now. And that definitely hurt things. It definitely did. But to basically blame the old FLW Tour or the pro circuit for your financial woes, though, and just be like, hey, man, we're losing $2 million, so we're going to change this up. It doesn't make us any money. And obviously, the Toyotas and BFLs, I feel like, are probably the money makers, and that's ultimately why they bought it. I mean, I don't think they ever wanted the pro circuit. They never wanted that extra layer. I just think that if you're signing back up for that, and granted, that's what's going to qualify you for BPT still, I think, even though you can cherry pick them from what I've heard, you can just fish one if you can get in. I don't know. I've heard Bass Pro Tour guys can cherry pick them and get in, or just everybody can cherry pick them. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it works, but I just don't know how you could continue to say, hey, I'm going to put my eggs in this basket. If you want to do the professional bass fishing thing, if you just want to fish six and be done, I get it. But at the same time, I don't see this trail being there in another year. Like these significant changes, granted, this payout's still pretty good. I just don't see them sticking with it. I don't. If it's costing them that much money, and that money needs to go to the bottom line or go to BPT or go wherever, I don't see them continuing to have it. You know, that top prize payout, it dropped down. I think you got to have a Phoenix to get over six figures with that now. So, I mean, certainly the payout changed significantly. It's still down into the field. It's pretty good. But it for me, it'll be interesting to see who signs up, how many guys sign up, and how many guys jump over and just fish all nine opens. I think that I was talking with some industry folks this week, and they're like, what do you think this will do? And I really don't know. I don't know. I think it all depends on what your goals are. Like, do you want to be on the Bass Pro Tour? Do you want to fish the Elite Series? Do you want to just fish? I've got friends that fish the tour that just like fishing six events with a chance at a championship that are like, you take a guy like Alex Davis. He runs a successful guide business. He likes fishing for big money. FLW Tour is where it's at. He's been a Ranger Pro forever. They were heavily involved with the tour until the last couple of years. So I just think you've got that group of guys. Like, what does an Alex Davis do? What does a Kurt Mitchell do? There are a lot of guys that have made their careers there. But I'll just double back on something I said last week. I just hate it for the legacy of FLW. I hate it for all the people that have been very successful building their careers with FLW, that had great careers with FLW. I hate it. I hate it for the hard work that went into the tour so many years. Guys like Bill Taylor, Kathy Fennell, and the things that they did to try to separate it. They were innovators for a very long time. They certainly pushed bass to up their game, especially payout-wise, in the late 90s, early 2000s. And we saw unprecedented things happen there. Million-dollar winners, things like that. And I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame that this level eventually will just be kind of erased, you know. That's my take on it. That is my take on that. All right. And still, I think it's going to be a good trail to fish. I do. I think the payouts are okay. I just think that it would be hard for me to emotionally and monetarily invest in it, thinking that there's a chance that in a year or 2 years that it's just non-existent. That's the scary part. Now, obviously, with BPT qualifications, they'll have to revamp somehow if that were to be the case. But it's very interesting. It's an interesting setup, and I just have a hard time believing that the Pro Circuit / FLW Tour was just this big, gigantic black hole of money that never made any money until certain sponsors never came back. Like, that's my thing. That's my thing. All right. So, make sure our guest is ready. So, our guest today reached out to me, and this was something I got tagged a lot, and people were like, man, I can't wait to see this. And my take may surprise you on this, but MLF had a weird deal that happened up at Mille Lacs where two anglers were given citations for breaking a state law. Something that is allowed in their rules, the technique, is one angler to set this up, got you a smallmouth on, you put that bad boy in the boat, and you fire another line out while they're weighing your smallmouth to keep the school fired up. You catch two at a time. They do it for excitement for the camera. You see guys at Bass do this as well. As long as you're not culling, you can do it. You get a fish in the boat, you can fire another rod out there. You unhook him, you can fire a drop shot out there and lay the rod on the deck. You see guys do it. See guys do it a lot. As long as you don't cull in a five fish tournament, you can do that. So it's nothing new. But Minnesota has a law against two line fishing for a singular angler. Believe the way it's written, single angler, can't have two lines. And so you see these guys, they do it at smallmouth events mainly. And Little Alton Jones Jr. and Jacob Wheeler were both given citations, but they weren't disqualified for the event. There have been people in a mad, crazy uproar about this. And because a lot of tournament organizations do state that if you break a state law, you're disqualified. That's not how their rules written, to my knowledge. My beef is the fact that it's in the rules that you can do this, and Major League Fishing didn't know the state laws to let their anglers. They put and look, the anglers should read the laws as well. But I can tell you, I've been to a lot of different states fishing in my life. Been very fortunate to do that. I don't always look at all the state laws. I dare say every Elite Series guy, I mean, there's probably some, but I dare say every BPT guy, you don't know all the state laws, man. You don't. It's your responsibility. It says that in the rules, but most of us don't. But I think for MLF to not know that that's a law, the tournament director, to not know that's a law, and to put the anglers to not just say, hey, at the meeting or whatever, when you're talking about crushing the pro circuit, you could have just said, hey, don't do that this week. To put them all in this situation, I will applaud them for releasing the press release about it, being upfront about it. I've heard tell some things like this happened on the Elite Series, guys with fishing license, different things this year. It happens. It's not an automatic DQ every single time. It's just not. And I think it depends on totally on what happens. But I've had people comment and tag me and say, well, Bass DQ'd somebody over insurance. They can't even, DQ somebody over breaking the law, damn BPT. Man, I just don't see it like that. They all had the opportunity to do it. So it's not like Wheeler and Alton Jr. had an advantage by doing it or were doing something shady or sneaky. All of them have the opportunity to do it. It's written in black and white in their damn rules that you can do it. So they just got caught by the DNR per video, however that happened. They got citations. They moved on. I don't necessarily think they should have been disqualified at all. I don't. I think everybody wanted my take to be like burn it down to the ground on this, but it's just not. I don't know. I think DQs are harsh, dude. I do. I think DQs are harsh. Now, like the situation with Sprague, he ought to be banned just for the blatant lie, right? And then a track record. But like in this situation, I don't know. I just didn't get that fired up over it. But one of the two guys reached out to me and was like, hey, I know you're going to talk about this on the show. I would like to come on the show and talk about it with you. And I love that. I thought that was awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get him on the phone right now. I'll look something up real fast before we get him on here. Should have done this already, but hey, sue me. Sue me if you don't like me Googling here. It's like live action right here. But this guy is it's a great, great, great angler. I mean, a fantastic angler. Comes from a long legacy of fantastic anglers. Let's see here. I'm trying to see one thing, dang it. I will say that the Major League Fishing website is complete doo-doo trash. Like, it just is. About half the time. You can't find anything. I can't ever find anything. Doo-doo trash. You're welcome for that. How do you find the point standings? I can't even. This is crazy. I was trying to see point standings, whatnot. You would think like you'd have your angler of the year, like a big whatever, but I can't find that. Oh, well. But Alton is certainly, Alton Jones Jr. is going to be our guest today, and he's certainly way up there in the point standings this year. Let's get him on the phone right now. I think he made heavy hitters as well. We'll ask him. We'll just ask him point blank. Ladies and gentlemen, Alton Jones Jr., the cheater. The cheater. Hey, cheater.
Hey,
come on. Hey, I had to open with that. You cheater. That's what, hey, I'm trying to give the people what they want. Alton, like they want me to tear you apart, tar and feather you, shame on you. How dare you use two lines when you're allowed to? Except not in Minnesota.
You're giving plenty of them exactly what they want. So
what's going on? I talked about it before I got you on. I'm like, I really respect the fact, and you and I are buds, man, and we talk a lot. Yeah. I've always appreciated the fact that you will call me on my BS, and you don't care if I call you and be like, hey, why is this going on? And you're like, well, you don't have all the facts. Like, we've always had that relationship, and I love that. And I respect you immensely. So when this popped up and people were just losing their minds, I wasn't even, I've had so much going on, I really wasn't even kind of dialed up to what was happening. Then I started getting tagged in all these articles and things, press releases. And then you reached out to me and you were like, dude, I know you're going to talk about this. I would like the opportunity to come on and talk about it with you. And I love that. So, A, thank you for doing it. I very much appreciate it. And B, kind of just walk us through it to kick it off. Like, how does this go down? Does the Minnesota DNR, did they watch you in person? Did they watch you on camera? Like, how did this take place for them to go, hey, Alton Jones Jr., you're getting a ticket?
Yeah, so there's a lot of, like, how we got to that point that I don't really know. So we'll just start off first day of the tournament. You know, we've got group A and B. Group B. I had a camera all day the first day, did pretty decent with about 10 minutes left in the day. I hook a 4-pounder. While I'm reeling it in, like smallmouth do, there's like dozens of them with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a second line, which we've all done at MLF. All the anglers have done multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
And drop it in. And unknown to me, absolutely broke a Minnesota state law. I failed in my attempt, you know, didn't catch that other fish, but you know, we move along.
So you didn't catch two. This was basically just a cast. It was just a cast.
Yeah, it was just a cast. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I believe it was like midday the next day, we get a text says, hey, unknowingly that's against the state law. We're no longer allowing anglers to do that. So there was, it was news to the league that was against the state law.
Right.
And I mean, ignorance isn't an excuse.
That's right.
But I mean, I'll just go ahead and say it wasn't just me and Wheeler that had done that.
Of course,
we were just the two that did it on camera.
Yeah.
Right. And neither one of us were successful at it either. So, you know, I get the text. No big deal. All 80 of us got the text. Fast forward. The next night, I get a call from the tournament director, Aaron Prashears. Hey, this thing's really blowing up. A lot of people have written emails directly to the league and to the Minnesota DNR, the Crime Stoppers tip line.
hang on a second, man. Hang on a second. Can you say that again?
I mean, literally, like, there's like a tip line, like a Crime Stoppers type tip line. And I don't know if it was three people that sent 20 emails or if there was a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
Lord have mercy.
There were some people that made sure their voices were heard and opinions. And I don't.
Probably everybody with a fake page on Instagram.
Yeah. And so this is at 9:00 at night before I'm about to compete. You know, Aaron said, hey, look, like, this is getting blown way out of proportion. They want to, you know, there's a game warden. He's going to come to the place you're staying. You're going to get a citation. And so 9:00 at night, he came to my house. Then he went to Wheeler's house, wrote us a ticket. Now, I'll say he was incredibly cool, very level-headed. He was like, this is a waste of my time and resources. A joke. But it's coming down the flagpole, and this is like what has to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got me a ticket. It doesn't say on the ticket. It's $140, $150, something like that, which is fine. And he had whoever had sent it. I mean, they had clipped the live stream and sent the video. They wanted our license revoked. Really absurd things. You know, they was off with his head, you know.
Dang it, dude.
You know, people just love that. There's some people that don't like the league. There's some people that don't like it. You know, I think it's, amplified whenever Jacob Wheeler's name is attached to it. There's some people that don't like Jacob. I, for one, really like Jacob.
No doubt.
But, you know, I think, you know, you just kind of get wrapped up into this ball. People love controversy, and that's where it stood. You know, it's not my call on what the league decided to do. DQ, no DQ, time penalties, whatever. But, you know, they knew that they had messed up.
Yeah, they messed that up for sure, dude. Like, it's not – I mean, it's each individual angler's responsibility to know the laws. But what I talked about for you before I called you – How many times do you look at state law? Like, I don't. I fished all over the country and back twice. And, like, I know that I don't. Unless I hear a rumor, like, I'm talking to you on a long drive like we do, and you go, man, have you heard about that rule in Michigan that says you got to fish in one flip-flop and you can't go near a marina? And you're like, what? And you go looking it up, and you're like, oh, I'll be damned. Like, I hear about stuff like that every now and then, just random weird state rules. Or what was it when bass was in California? They had to be hooked inside the mouth, no matter what bait you were using kind of deal, right? Yep. Like, there's always these weird ones you hear about, or the Brandon Polinick, the culling thing a few years ago on the Mississippi River, just bizarre rules. But this one I don't understand, just because you have so many, and maybe it's probably pertains to walleye or crappie or catfish or something, I'm sure, more so than bass, and you guys got affected by it. But I think that, you know, you guys, it's in black and white in your rules that you can do this. And like Rucks, his statement was, hey, we do it for excitement, we do it for fish catches, whatever. Yeah. And guys do it in every league. If you're smallmouth fishing, as long as, like, if you're in a five fish tournament, as long as you're not culling and you don't have both lines in the water at the same time, guys do it. You can do it. It's something that happens a lot. I do it fun fishing for smallmouth. Like, I've done it in tournaments. Yeah. So, but I think that the league kind of let you guys down, not to, like, beat on them, but they did, and them not knowing that was a law, even though it's a weird law, but they didn't know that going in. But the people that are, like, off with your head and Wheeler's head, if you'd have been caught getting fish out of a basket, I'd say this podcast would be totally different.
You know, for one, I'd be in jail.
No doubt.
Yeah, we'd be doing this on a collect line.
Yes. Call from.
But you know, they did make a mistake. They're, you know, we're still early on in this. It's, there's some inexperience in some areas, but, you know, you got to, we all make mistakes, and we're just going to, gonna move on from it. You know, they apologize to me, I apologize to them, we're gonna keep on trucking, you know.
I like the fact that the press release was made. You know, you hear rumblings of these things a lot. It was the same with the Trey Swindle DQ. I like that Hank and I like Hank that was on FS1 talking about it. I like that they put it on the website. Like, you got to have transparency in these situations, because that does tone down some of the internet BS mom's basement comments that'll come out from people that aren't there. And they do listen. I mean, and I know I stoked the fire a lot, but it's insane when you just only read into the negative, right? Like, you see that and you just immediately jump on it, because you're a guy like I know well, and I'm like, all right, like, why are you guys just caught up in this? And I think that you're right. Had Wheeler not, his name not been associated with it, the small group that are negative towards Jacob more times than not, it might not even have been a story. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, obviously, I don't hear bad Alton Jones Jr. talk ever. You hear whispers of the Wheeler stuff over the years, because there are a lot of, and listen, I talked about Jacob earlier. Incredible dude. I think this is the only top 10 he didn't make all year or something crazy. I mean, it was just stupid. Or 6 out of 8. Yeah. Like, it's incredible. It's incredible. So
I have so much respect for that.
Oh my God. Harder.
I can't even explain. He's taught me a lot, and everything that I see that anti him, I just kind of roll my eyes.
Yeah, you just kind of laugh. I've talked about it on here for a long time, man. People, they love to obsess over Jacob, and Jacob is he's the hardest worker in the room, dude. He's the hardest worker in the room. It's hard. I tell a story all the time. I saw him before the Chickamauga Super Tournament that he won. You guys had been maybe to Florida for heavy hitters. I can't remember. But he had been somewhere, and I rolled up at the boat ramp on Pickwick the day after you guys finished in Florida, and he was at Waterloo at Pickwick riding around. And talking to him, like, what's up? Why aren't you home? He goes, well, Chick's off limits, so I'm down here just kind of brushing up, you know, keeping my offshore stuff going. And he had won the Toyota series on Pickwick like a month earlier. And I was like, bro, I think you're good. I think you're tuned up. Like, go home and see your family. Like, he's an animal.
I need him to lose his edge a little bit, because, I mean, I just don't see his reign coming to an end for a long, long time. But he pushes us all to be better. For sure.
Well, and I think being in that kind of competition is very good, right? Like it does. It does push you guys, and you're seeing that. I mean, my gosh, dude, look at Connell. Three events this year, and you could tell he upped that forward-facing sonar game. I know you've been with Garmin as long as I have. You're tuned up on LiveScope. Like, you are dialed on that deal. And it's very much played a lot for you guys this year, I feel like. Not saying that's the only way anybody caught any fish, obviously. But it's definitely played a huge role in all professional fishing this year.
No doubt. I mean, dude, my dad is, I mean, he had an amazing year, like 5 out of 7 top tens. And he may have a different opinion on it, but I think part of it, he's taking all that old school knowledge and grit, but he's like in his own way become a forward-facing sonar fisherman.
That's what I was going to ask you that about your dad, because he finished third in the AOI, and incredible year. And I've seen a lot of what I've got to watch this year. It's what he's doing a lot. He's out there live, and it's almost like knowing your dad and him being somebody I followed growing up so much and a fishing hero of mine and sight fishing, right? Sight fish. Like he's this just OG. We saw him win with it, but you think that's why he gets fired up about it? Because it's very much you're just sight fishing on a screen, right? Like it's tricking the bass into biting. Yeah.
I think what it's taken too is like it's so much more than just like a smallmouth derby or a suspended fish tool. Like, I mean, you can be in the back of a shallow creek and you just got to keep one eye on it at all times.
That's right.
You know, it's not like you're catching every bass on it, but like how many times does one 4-pounder, is that the difference in a top 10 finish and a 50th place finish?
No doubt about it.
One bite, and you just start to utilize it as a tool. And I always joke that we're all going to look like so goofy as old men because all we do is stare down.
Million
we're going to be cross-eyed because we've got one eye on the horizon and one eye on the screen. But it doesn't matter where you are. I mean, we go to Florida. Looking at it.
No doubt.
It's crazy.
It's strange. I've been running my boat without electronics for the last couple of weeks because I haven't got them installed yet, and I've been wanting to go fishing. And I'm like, I'll go old school river route. Look, me and Sammy George were talking about this week. I'm like, oh, screw it. I'll go way up this creek on Wheeler that we've always fished, blah, blah, blah. And I get up there and the damn fish were schooling in the middle of it. And I was like, oh, I wish I had LiveScope. Like, I start getting like shaky. I'm like, I can go throw a chatterbait on these laydowns to catch them. Nah, they're coming up over 20 feet of water, and I don't have LiveScope with me. And my jerkbait. Yeah, or my Kitex in the boat. Of course I don't. Yeah. I was going to be meat and potatoes like the good old days. Dude, let me ask you, just because you brought up Wheeler, and I know you guys are buds, let me ask you this. I had this debate with someone this week, and I want an insider opinion on this. And I feel like this is I'd like to get Jacob on to talk about this too, but Somebody said this. We were talking about the game that is MLF, because it is. It's a different game.
Yep.
It's the same game, catching bass, but you got to stand on their throats. You got to stand on the throttle. It's crazy to see the numbers that get put up by a lot of guys on certain days. But Wheeler has got it dialed. I think we all have to say that. But let me ask you this, and this is a very like loaded question, so I'll just preface it by saying that. Would we see, like, if this was, because he's obviously done well no matter where he's ever been, right? But do you think we would see this level of dominance from him as far as getting top tens if it was a 5-fish format with and the game was different, right? Do you think that he knows how to play the game better than everybody? Because obviously we know he's a fantastic angler, he figures them out, whatever. But would we see these kind of numbers? That's the loaded question. If he were anywhere else, what do you think?
So there's kind of two answers. It's a yes and a no. So yes to top tens, no doubt. The dude, he's the best angler on the planet right now.
1,000,000%.
It's not even close. Like, the dude's going to win AOI wherever he goes. Dude's going to win derbies, catch top tens everywhere he goes. I do think under a 5-fish format, it's a little bit more difficult to have that success because there's less data point entries, right? Like, you're not going to beat Wheeler when it comes down to an every fish count. However, you might beat him when you catch that lucky 9-pounder.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
So there's going to be some of that.
It's like the law of averages, right? You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like the law of averages. If you got to go catch a bunch of 3-pounders to beat a guy, it's one thing, and you got to catch freaking 40. But if all he can bring in is 5 3-pounders, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got a chance. You catch you 4 3-pounders and a 5, you beat him that day, right? Like, we all know how five-fish tournaments work. So I think – but I think just his overall strategy, man. Like, you hear some of the things he does on the off day. He's going to other lakes and practicing to – you know what I mean? Or he catches enough, and then he goes, oh, well, the wind's going to blow here in the knockout round, so those guys can't go find these bed and smallmouth. So I'm going to go there today and mark them, and then I'm going to kick their teeth in on the top 10. It's it's just – it's phenomenal to see that. But
he plays chess, not checkers out there. I mean, every move he makes is calculated.
So where did you – where did the dust settle for you? I know you got a heavy hitters qualification again, correct?
I was last man in the heavy hitters.
Okay.
Which is great because that was a good one for me this year.
No doubt.
15th in AOI.
Okay.
16th in AOI. Sorry, there'd be lying to you again. Cheating.
Hey, who was in the car that just called you out on that, by the way?
That was my dad.
That was big. That was the man.
Yeah, he's in here. He's listening to you.
So Alton had to call you, and I love that you were like, "I'm 15." He's like, "Hey, son, you were 16." That's my that's my favorite.
Hey, it's okay. I've gotten him like the last 4 years, so it's okay.
He got you this year by a lot.
He did. He got everybody. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, we were doing the math, and almost every other year, like after 7 events, you're right there with an AOI, and this year he finishes third, and he's like, I don't know, 90 something points back. Like, literally, if there was an 8th tournament, you don't even have a chance. It just shows you the level of dominance that we saw.
That's what I was talking about. This friend of mine, we were having this just, you know, debate going down the road board the other day about Wheeler. That's why I asked you that question. And Jacob could have almost not fished that event and still won. Yeah. It's just crazy to think about. Even though you look at Joe, you look at your dad, the years they have, just fantastic. You said your dad 5 out of 7 top 10. It's just wild, man, to think. Like, that's as good a year as you can ever have almost, right? Like, your dad's been at this a very long time. I think he would agree with me. Like, that is not easy to do. And then Jacob's just like, oh, you think that's good? This is what I'm going to do. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, we were talking about it. This year was his second best year all time. One time he finished second AOI. He finished second AOI to Jay Ellis back in the day, but as far as AOIs, you know, he had a lot of top fives and stuff like that, but third is his second highest.
So even out of the Angler of the Year years, this one was better overall finish-wise?
Would you say so? This is your best year? I mean, finish-wise? He said second best. Second best year.
20
second to Jay.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So crazy, man. Now we got Jay retiring. That was wild news this week.
Yeah,
to see. Sure was. And I know you. Do you have a Jay Yellow story? Because being on the road as long as like Team Skeeter for years, all that, you guys were all around each other. So, I mean, do you have a Jay Yellow story from like growing up around Jay that you'd share with us?
Any
Jay story?
I don't just right off the top of my head, but I mean, him and my dad were super close. I mean, some of my earliest memories traveling on tour was with Jay and Jill and his daughters, Hannah and Bethany. They were my sister's age, and so they were always ganging up on me because I was the only boy. But, you know, I mean, he meant a lot to everyone around us in the sport, not only because of his fishing abilities, but, you know, who he was as a person. He's a man of faith, and, you know, he just had a huge impact on a lot of people. It's sad to see him retire, but I know he's going to do great things. He does a lot with, you know, Cash for Kids.
Yes.
Foundation. We do stuff with him every year. One of the best events I do. And it's funny, at this year's banquet for Cash for Kids, he was telling me about, you know, his elbow pain and all that. And it was right after he'd had his injury and going to take the rest of the year off. And, so it's wild to see it come to an end, but I know he's gonna continue to be a big impact in the sport and to a lot of people.
Absolutely, and he always has, for sure. And like you said, I talked about it earlier on the show before I got you on. Just his, you know, everything that he taught. It's like your dad's, like that group of guys. They brought so much to the sport. They taught so many things, and this was before YouTube and live stream. You know what I mean? We were all reading magazines and watching TNN Bassmasters and learning these things from these guys that still stick, right? And it's weird to think that we will have a professional bass fishing world that doesn't have Jay in it, right? For me, as a 39-year-old, because we got guys like your dad and the Rick Klunz and, you know, David Fritz, they're all still around fishing, and competitively. And like your dad, second best year ever. Like, he has no vision of stopping this. It doesn't look like, you know. And it's crazy. These guys, I think about a guy like Jimmy Houston a lot. You don't ever know when to get out. Like, they never get out. It's just because our sport is, once you're in kind of thing, it seems. And so to see somebody out, of course, Jay, that's going to open up a door for somebody in the Elite Series that was going to get kicked out. So I think that's kind of cool too, right?
Absolutely.
That's going to let some young guy that was fixing to have to go through the gauntlet of the Opens again, it's going to let somebody right back in. So I think that's pretty neat too. That's going to be a gift that Jay Ellis is going to give back to somebody. So and I think I know who that somebody is, and they're pretty excited about it. they're pretty excited about it, to say the least. I was excited to hear that news this week for them.
Right.
Well, buddy, I hope that you don't get tar and feathered on your way back to Texas. I hope that you can avoid any more legal trouble. You got your dad there for muscle, just in case if the 5-0 gets on you. If y'all need backup, just call me, and I'll see if I can bail you troublemakers out of jail.
I appreciate it, dude. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for taking the time, and thanks for reaching out and always being honest and like I said, always feeling like you can reach out, call me out on whatever. I said that about when I was talking to Trey Swindle DQ last week. Hank Welton called me up this week and was like, "Hey, man, I loved your take on it, and I wanted to explain to you a couple other things." And it was great. That's how we move on in life. Everybody's got an opinion. Doesn't mean they're right. Yep. Doesn't mean they're wrong. But it's good when everybody can kind of get together and talk. So I appreciate you, buddy, as always. And congrats on an incredible year. And you guys be safe.
Thanks, dude. We'll talk soon.
See ya. Alton Jones Jr. with Big Alton listening in the truck. Big out in there in the truck as well. Third place in the AOI. It's crazy to hear him say, "Yeah, my dad's coming off his second best." To think he's won classics, AOIs, it's his second best season at his age. It's crazy, man. And right there in the mix with Joe Lee and Wheeler, still 90 points out, like Little Alton pointed out. But very cool to see somebody compete, man. It gives everybody hope. It's like I said about the Hunter Bogman thing. You can't stop. You can't stop. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I wanted to have him on. I was thinking, you know, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about with this? Because I wasn't just bugged by it. And then Alton Jr. reached out, and I was like, there we go. We're going to talk to Alton. So next week, going to get Hunter Bogman. Hopefully we'll get whoever is able to pull off something down there on the Red River. Hopefully it'll be little Trey or Kyle Austin or Bradley Hallman, some of those buddies of mine down there mixing it up on the dirty old red. Appreciate, I can't talk. Appreciate each and every one of you tuning in, week out. Means a lot to me. Appreciate the W Sauce for bringing you those interviews. The sauce right there with Alton Jones Jr. But get you some W Sauce. Other than drinking it, and you can put it in a Bloody Mary, but other than drinking it, I haven't found anything yet that it's not good on at all. And I'm going to be sharing more recipes on Instagram. I know that's funny for me to say, but I cook a lot. I do enjoy it. And I've really kind of gotten wild with this, but they have the W Saucy Worcestershire. That's why they say the W Sauce, because nobody can say it. And then they have this Fire Shire, which is spicy. And I'm not the biggest spicy guy, but this stuff's good, Fire Shire. So thanks to the folks from the W Sauce for bringing you these interviews on LBL. Got Boats and Pros coming back very soon. Fixing to start filming again. Get a lot of questions about that. And that's it. That's it for this week. Going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues. I will see everybody next week.
In town to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter east or west. north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.